The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Washington offers a block. The blitz comes from the other side. Jaquel Jackson.
And now again, Jaquel Jackson.
You're listening to Believe in Colts with co-hosts Lawrence Owen and Jaquel Jackson, bringing you the latest and greatest about the shoe.
Brady, middle, intercepted by Jaquel Jackson.
Perfect. Bryant.
Intercepted, picked off at the five, touchdown
to
Jaquel Jackson.
What's going on, Colts Nation? We are back with another episode of Believe in Colts, walking into the wild card round for this 2021-2022 NFL season. Obviously, you know the Indianapolis Colts are not going to be part of it because, well, they laid an egg. I'll be nice this time. Say they laid an egg in Jacksonville. But we still got, you know, life goes on. We're going to continue to bring the content out to you. And, well, Jaquel.
Yes, sir.
How are you doing, my guy?
Doing well. I can't complain. There's a lot of great football this weekend, a lot of great matchups, and a lot of underdogs that I think that have a chance to win a playoff game. So it's going to be interesting to see how this weekend unfolds.
I actually completely agree. There's one big one that we'll talk about later. I think will shock some people in my pick on that game. But, you know, now that we know that the Colts aren't in, we just got done talking to some members of the Colts organization. The guys are not in no more. They left. They went home, right. Cleaned their locker rooms out, all that neat stuff. Did their, was it exit physicals? I assume, yeah, something like that.
Yes, yeah, they call them exit meetings. It's okay. Based on your position group. For instance, in my years playing, you know, you come in, you probably don't watch the film. You come in the next day after the game. You'll have a meeting with your position coach. You'll have a meeting with your strength coach. He'll give you a booklet of what he expects the workouts to be before you come back in March. Then you would, based on who you are, based on the time, typically, I would usually meet with the head coach. You know, I was one of the captains on the team, and just he wanted to get my perspective of how I thought things played out, what we could have done differently, things of that nature. And most of the time, it ends up becoming this conversation about, you know, what can I do better as a player? How do you see myself and how you envision myself in the future? So I know towards the later part of my career, I appreciate it. I look forward to those meetings because it gave me an insight and it gave me time and access to the head coach and maybe GM that you normally wouldn't have because you're in and out of meetings and you're back and forth from practice and they have other scouting meetings they have to get to and things of that nature. So I think it's necessary. I think it's valuable because coaches take note of, okay, my top guy says we could have done this differently. We could have done that differently. And some young guys don't really go that route. They don't talk to the young guys about that because they don't really fully understand the business of football. So it'll be a select few of guys who they would dive deep into conversation about the season. And I'm pretty sure Carson Wentz had a very long meeting with the GM, the head coach, Darius Butler, same GM, head coach, and particularly the owner in some instances. So it's definitely a sad time, you know, to see everyone clean out your lockers. Everyone gets this big black trash bag and you're cleaning out locker, and you look around the locker room and you understand every season is different. So there's a great chance your buddy, your locker mate, whomever may or may not be there next year, and it can be a completely, totally different team. Rarely do you see the same team line up the next year as the previous year. So we've only seen a team like the Buccaneers be able to return all 22 starters, and that's unheard of. So I'm pretty sure and pretty confident there's going to be a significant amount of turnover, whether it be a coordinator, whether it be players. There's going to be a lot of moving parts this offseason for sure.
Absolutely. And we talked about right beforehand, you know, still got games this weekend. So, you know, if you want to bet on those, bet online. Would like to wish you a happy new year as we continue our march through the playoffs and beyond. BetOnline remains the number one spot for all the best sports wagering action for 2022. The new year and the new updated desktop and mobile website. Go visit them. Sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus for your first deposit. You just got to use the promo code BELIEVE. That's BLEAV to get started. I mean, you still have football, we got basketball, hockey, boxing, UFC, and your favorite Vegas casino games. Don't wait to take advantage of all the truly amazing offers available for the 2022 season. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to wager on all your favorite sports. BetOnline, where the game starts. Now, you've been in situations like this multiple times in your career. Many with the Browns, there was times with the Colts, you know, where, you know, the season just didn't end up where you really wanted it. And you had to go home after the last game of the season. What's going through your mind in a disappointing season like this?
Yeah, you want to get around people that love you, because a lot is invested mentally and physically within the season, you know, starting from March. From March into January. So it's a long, grueling process. And I know for me, I wanted to go vacation. So I would take a month where my wife and I, we would go vacation, relax, not think about football, put football down for a minute, kind of recharge the batteries. And then after that month, I was back on my routine of working out 5 days a week, watching some film. Now I was doing a deep dive into myself and how I could be better, have meetings with my agent. Every year we would tally up how many plays I was a part of to kind of gauge on how I need to prepare going into the next season. So, but a lot of guys don't do that. A lot of guys are, you know, they don't have plans. A lot of young guys are trying to figure it out. You know, how do I navigate through this offseason? How do I be better for my team? And a lot of times you're having meetings with these agents, and you're talking about a potential, you're going to be an undrafted free agent, or you have money tied up in a roster bonus that you're probably unlikely to see. So there's a lot that goes into it right afterwards, but you're emotionally and physically drained. You just want to be around good people, have a good time, have some drinks, you know, whatever it is that you do to kind of decompress and remove yourself away from football. That's the best medicine I realized for myself. And it's a chance for you to go back home. Go back home, man, and relax and do all those good things. And hopefully, probably in a month or so, the coaches will reach out. They will give you some film, some plays to watch. Now they start to formulate a plan. And now that you know, evolving door kind of happens in terms of preparation.
Okay. During the offseason, like you say, about a month after or so, you start hearing about quarterbacks getting with their wide receivers, you know, like that, throwing around. Is that only that specific group of people that do that? Do defensive guys get together with some of their guys? Because you never hear that at all, and I'm just curious.
Right. No. Yeah, defensive guys will usually – I've only been a part of that one time where Colt McCoy, he was – the guy who ended the season in Cleveland at the quarterback position. He was in Austin, Texas. He was able to reserve a field. We hung out. I mean, it was a really good time in the offseason where not only were the offensive guys a part of it, they allowed us defensive guys to basically work a 7-on-7. And it's rare to get that many guys on schedule at the same time in the same place to work on your football. So I thought it was a great I've only been a part of that one time in my life. I thought it was great. Defensive guys, a lot of guys connect with going on trips. They bring their families or they take a guy's trip, and just that way you could talk about the season. You don't have big brother looking over your shoulder, and you can hash out some things you need to hash out. And it creates a bond. It creates rapport within your unit and throughout your side of the football. So I think it's, for the most part, quarterbacks and receivers, they need timing. And I'm sure we're going to hear a lot of offseason work with Carson Wentz and the receiving core that he does have, because there's no secret, I think he was affected by the passing game, by not having the offseason to really hash out and talk about route running, to get on the same page, and to do all those things that, quite frankly, you neglect at times. You don't understand the importance of them until you actually get to the season, and we've witnessed that for 17 weeks. So I think it's going to be a huge component of Frank Wright and Chris Ballard pushing, hey, listen, we need as much work as possible. You're basically on a one-year tryout deal. When you come back, we expect a certain level of continuity between receiver and quarterback. So I think that'll be a huge focal point, especially for the Colts. And it's a huge focal point for most quarterback and receiver combinations.
Wow. Man, I'll tell you what. I don't expect any of the players to actually listen to this, but if it does, take a page from what DeQuell is saying. If Carson gets a hold of you, or if by chance Carson's listening to this, you know, don't just go grab your receivers and stuff. Go out there, Darius, grab your Rockison and
it's going to be important.
Corners and stuff, man.
Yes.
And work out together, hang out. I bet that would be a huge benefit. And would also bring the team together, I would think, you know, even more so, because, you know, how often do offensive guys, you know, reach out to defensive guys and be like, hey, you know, let's work out on a one-on-one basis. You said it only happened one time in your entire career.
My entire career.
That would go huge into, you know, boosting that level of confidence in his leadership on the team itself.
So you spark a thought in my head. When I was in Indianapolis for the recognition of Robert Mathis joining the Ring of Honor, I was around Reggie and Edgerrin James and Antoine Bethea, you know, a lot of guys, Gary Brackett, a lot of guys who had played together and won a Super Bowl together. And I was amazed. So one night we go out, we all smoke cigars. We're out smoking cigars and having a good time and chopping it up and talking football, all these good things. And they start talking about the good times they had together in the offseason. And I was shocked. And I was shocked, but I wasn't shocked. It was like, it made sense why this team was so successful and obviously winning the Super Bowl and winning many games, many, you know, big football games. They hung out. They talked about some of the moments they shared leading up to the Super Bowl in the offseason, you know, going to Atlanta, going to DC, going to different places. And at that moment, a light bulb went off. It's like, man, I never was a part of that. You think you've experienced everything in your 11 years, but those guys enjoy being around each other. And it in turn, and as a result, you get better continuity. You understand each other's players. You trust each other is building. So all those things matriculate and spill over to the football field on Sundays.
That's freaking fantastic. It's great that you could still, you know, learn more things even after you retire, just from seeing guys that have played it, you know, whether it's on a different team or a different era or whatnot. I would love to have been a fly on the wall, right?
I felt like a fly on the wall at during that time. It was amazing to hear some of the stories. Some of the stories I can't tell over this microphone, but it was amazing, man. It was amazing just to how did these guys just lit up talking about some of the fun times they experienced together. And you talk about, we have to try to, you know, get guys together more often, you know, because when we're all together, regardless of whether you play together or not, it's just a fraternity of brothers and you share similar struggles and similar successes. So it's all good and fun.
Absolutely. So we were talking about Carson and trying to get guys together. Well, there's, you know, speculation that, you know, Frank Reich is going to bring a veteran quarterback in this offseason to compete against Carson Wentz. Now, we've talked about this plenty of times. There's not a lot of options really out there to go get. I mean, do you go, or do you try to make a big splash play, or do you go for someone that, you know, when I'm saying big splash play, I mean, like, do you try to go get a Russell or something like that? Or do you grab someone that, you know, asset skill wise, things like that would just.
Yeah, I was going to say, go ahead and say it. Not Brian Hoyer.
I don't want a Brian Hoyer. No. Yeah, I said that already earlier. That's why you were saying that. But I mean, where would they go? What would they do to bring a veteran in? They've already invested a first and a third in Carson Wentz, going out and trading for another quarterback. You know, if you're going for a big guy, you're investing even more into that position. Is it worth it? And if it's not, then where do you go? What are you targeting to bring in to compete with Wentz?
I think that's going to be the focal point of all their meetings from the front office standpoint from this day on until the regular season begins. Because if you get it wrong, it becomes a fireball offense. They have to get this portion right. Because this team before last season, this team was a champ, had a, in my opinion, was a championship roster. And most people, and I would include myself into this conversation of, you were one piece away from bringing in a guy on the center that could, you know, take this team to the next level. However, as a GM, I think you have to not take anything off the table because of the ramifications of getting it wrong will cost you ultimately your job. So I think if an opportunity, you have to go out and speak to Russell Wilson's camp. You have to go out and speak to Aaron Rodgers' camp. You have to go out and do what's best for your football team. And if things materialize in those two corners, then I think you have to assess where you are as a team, what, you know, obviously money plays a part in salary cap and all that different things. But if you don't make a splash, I think you really have to do a, I really don't know anyone off the top of my head that I could say that can come in and compete with Carson Wentz at the quarterback position. My head is spinning. The first name that comes to mind is Huntley. Is it Huntley over at with the Ravens?
Yeah.
He's shown a lot of people of late. He's actually a really good quarterback given the circumstance with no, you know, all the injuries that Baltimore had it throughout the season, and as much as they put on the quarterback shoulders, is he a guy to be available? Because we go back to the success Frank Wright had at Philadelphia. He won with basically two quarterbacks. Carson Wentz for part of the year, and my mind is slipping his name, perennial backup. He won with a backup quarterback to win the Super Bowl. And he was a dual threat quarterback, a guy that could use his legs as well as his arm, and as well as an offense being dynamic. So I think Frank Wright has to figure out, one, what type of offense will he run? If you have a guy that led the league in rushing in Jonathan Taylor, and you have a quarterback that has the arm strength and the ability to make all the throws, but in 17 weeks was out of sync, because I listened to his presser, Frank Wright's presser, and he spoke a little bit about mid-season of them becoming more run-centric and how that could have affected the passing game and the development of the passing game and the rhythm and all these different things. So to go back to your original question, I think from a front office standpoint, you have to do best for your team. And if that entails making a splash and getting one of these guys that's disgruntled, that's proven winners at the quarterback position, I think it's in your team's best interest to entertain it. But you're going to have to do it secretly, because we've seen this happen once before with Carson Wentz and the quarterback in the shadow affecting his mental ability to play the game. I think that's when we started to see kind of the downturn of Carson Wentz and his production, when there was always the backup quarterback who won the Super Bowl that's hovering over him. And it was always this pressure to live up to that. So it's a very delicate situation, but in the end, you got to do what's best for your franchise. And I don't know of a guy, I don't know of many guys who would be available to step in and say, I'd much rather have him than Carson.
See, I don't know if I would go secret. Personally, I think being open and honest with your guy would leave you in a better situation, like more comfortable with him, you know.
Yeah.
Be right. Like, hey, look, we're gonna try to find somebody that's going to push you to make you a better quarterback, hopefully, you know. Yeah. There is a name that comes to mind, but it's incredibly hypothetical. What if the Washington football team make a move and get the quarterback this year? What about Tyler Heinicke?
Okay. That's a guy that I've watched a lot of because I'm in this DC area. He's actually a guy that surprised a lot of people this year.
Yeah.
His ability to run, escape the pocket, throw the ball down the field. He seems to know where he's going with the football. So that's actually a really good player to think of. But do you think the Washington football team would be willing to give him up? What do you have to give up to get it?
Yeah.
You know, and at what cost? So all these things play a all these factors, there's many different factors that goes into, you know, who you can get and if they're available or not. And quite frankly, giving up a first and a third for Carson, this next decision by Frank Wright and Chris Ballard will be a fireable offense. Could ultimately cost them their job.
Yeah, a lot of people already want that already. Now, those are knee-jerk reactions. In my opinion, because if you look at what Reich and Ballard have done in their tenure, I think they've done a very good job overall. But, you know, the last two games, knee-jerk reaction is, you know, we need to make major changes.
Right. And to Frank Reich's credit, he's had four quarterbacks in four different years. So he doesn't have a quarterback to really grasp the concept of the offensive scheme. And this past year, he had to adapt on the fly. He realized, wow, I got a stud in the backfield. I have to rip up everything that we practice in the offseason and become more run-centric. So you give him next year, you see the development of Carson Wentz, because you know how, as well as I do, the quarterback and the head coach are tied together. You know, and there's going to be a lot of decisions. It's going to be interesting to see how this offseason unfolds within the Colts organization. Defensively, are they going to add more pass rush? I know you're able to get after the ball or create turnovers, but will they be looking to beef up the defensive room a little bit? Because they all played, obviously they played better as the season progressed, but when the game counted, when the game was on the line, your Pro Bowlers didn't step up. And it's, again, you want to avoid the knee-jerk reaction, but that's the product you put on the field.
So we talk about that. Yeah, we talk about that pass rush. I don't know if I trust Ballard to drop more draft capital into the defensive line on the pass rush. Right. No offense, but I mean, how many second and first round picks has he used to get pass rushers on this defensive line? And we are still sitting where we're sitting, you know? He obviously has his strengths in where he drafts, and he has his weaknesses in where he drafts. And I think his draft weakness, one of them, is that pass rush. Now, obviously, he's great at the offensive line. He's great at running backs, you know, and things of that.
He's got to be able to find a difference maker on offense. He's got to find a guy that's dynamic, that's positionless in a sense, a guy that can catch the football, run with the football. You have to be able to change things up a bit. And you need just a guy that can do it all. And I know that's easier said than done, but you got to find a difference maker. If Carson Wentz is going to be your guy for the future, you have to give him help. You got to give this guy some help, someone that can stretch the field, a big target. And so when you call upon this offense to make plays in the passing game, you know what to expect, and there's confidence behind it.
With Jonathan Taylor being that guy at running back, would it make sense to see if Nyheim Hines wants to move to the wide receiver position and maybe play slot?
I think he'll have a bigger role to answer that. I think he will have a bigger role going into next year because now you know you can rely heavily on Jonathan Taylor to run in between the tackles. And so now he's a third down back, Nyheim Hines. He's great out of the backfield. So, again, he could be that difference maker. Mm-hmm. He could be a guy that understands the offense, and he creates a mismatch anytime you have a guy like myself, a linebacker, that's guarding a quick twitch guy like Nyheim Hines. So I most definitely foresee him having a bigger role in this offense next year.
Yeah, I mean, his snap percentage – only dropped 4% this year, but his targets dropped significantly. By almost like a third, right?
Well, yeah, because JT can do it all.
Yeah.
He can legit do it all. So you're going to have to create more packages where it's a 20-20 personnel, two backs, no tight ends. Now you have two guys and a running back position that are more than capable of catching the ball out of the backfield, and they threaten you with the run. So you can have an open formation, five wide, or you can, you know, have them in shotgun and you do some misdirection. That's going to be, if Frank Wright is who we think he is, he's going to be able to expand with the guys, the core guys that he does have, because he has a good group of core young guys that he can lean on. It's just, I think the season, every season is different. I think the season kind of, you know, just the hand that he was given, he had to rely heavily on that run, and it kind of shrunk and condensed an offense from a dynamic standpoint.
Talking about the quarterback and the running backs, I got a couple stats I want to throw out there real quick. Between Jonathan Taylor and Nyheim Hines, they both, their completion percentage dropped by 12 and 14% respectively each, from last year to this year, between Phillip Rivers throwing him the football, Carson Wentz throwing him the football. The Indianapolis Colts also, yak yards dropped dramatically, yards after catch, between Phillip Rivers and Carson Wentz. Is this a Carson Wentz issue? Does he not know how to throw screens and hit running backs out of the backfield? Or is this a situation where, you know, he's just not looking at them soon enough to hit them in those positions?
Yeah, I've always said about Carson, I'm not going to – everyone would agree he has all the physical tools. He's what you want in a quarterback. What separates other guys from Carson right now is decision-making. You take the check down and let your stud running back or Nyheim Hines, who's elusive in the open field, create that yak, create that mismatch. So now, you know, you're either playing with a smaller personnel group to defend these guys, and it only adds to your advantage what you can do offensively. So, yeah, I think it's a direct correlation of a veteran guy who played the game at such a high clip. He understood how to maintain or sustain drives, as opposed to a guy that's a gunslinger, and his only mindset is to go big or go home. So I think it's the direct correlation of that. Let those guys eat. Let those guys make the game easier for you. Tom Brady hasn't survived for 100 years playing the quarterback position by throwing the ball and chunking the ball down the field. And he majored in taking what the defense will give you. Mm-hmm. And he allowed his guys to go make plays because he never really had a legit number one or number two receivers. So he had to figure out a way to spread the field, open the field up, and rely on the guys and their ability to get first downs and make guys miss. So
he had Carson, a number one a couple years with Randy Moss.
Years. But that's been my issue with Wentz. And when you watch him play, just sometimes you can live to see another day. It's okay punting. It's okay chunking the ball, you know.
Throwing it away.
throwing it away or giving it to your running back. And if he doesn't get the first down, he still feels like he's involved and he's getting his touches. So he's always going to be ready. Mm-hmm. So that's a great stat.
Sometimes a quarterback needs to be able to read a defense and see as the play is snapped, as he's making his drop back, what the coverage is, and immediately realize, you know what? I just need to dump it off to my running back as he's running that out route or, you know, the wheel route or whatever it is, you know, into the flat so that he can just catch and run, you know, because there's multiple times where I've watched where he just waited way too long. He went through all of his wide receiver progressions and then was like, well, there's nothing there. And then there's already pressure in his face and he's trying to chuck it, you know, like what we always talk about, trying to chuck it to his running back. We don't want to see that, you know. You got to be able to read the defense and make that decision early. Phillip Rivers, Tom Brady, you know, Manning, all these guys, they knew how to read and know, you know what? By the time I'm already back in my step, whether it's a 3-step, 5-step, 7-step, doesn't matter. By the time you get back there, you've already went through your first read, maybe your second read, and you see what that is. That's the time when you decide whether or not to dump the football off. Right. And Wentz waits way too long.
Sometimes. It's anticipation. It's anticipating guys being open and making a quick, decisive decision early and often before the linebackers get to the top of the drops. You're already dumped the ball off to Nyheim Hines or Jonathan Taylor, and now you put the linebackers in a bind because they have so much space to make up to tackle an elusive guy who's a tough tackle in the first place. So I think he needs another year. And if he can understand those type of things and he can play, if you can know what to expect from Carson Wentz, how he's going to be a clear decision maker, I think that clears a lot of the issues that occurred this past year. Now, on paper, we've talked about it at length. On paper, he's had a really good season. On paper, and I won't deny it, he's had a really good season. But he was brought in to be spectacular. And he wasn't spectacular at all this year for the duration of a game. And when they needed him the most, he wasn't spectacular. And to garner a $20+ million annual salary, you need to be spectacular. Teams are paying you to be spectacular, not to be good. They need you for those moments. And I think that's right now, because of the last game, because it was such a poor performance from everyone, because there's a lot of blame to pass around. Obviously, we know how the quarterback position goes. You take most of the credit, and you take most of the credit when you lose and when you win. So there's hope. I had enough time to sit back and really evaluate everything and not let my emotions take over, which is very hard to do, especially when you lose to a 2-14 team, a team that has the number one overall pick. That's not a good playoff. Playoff football teams don't lose to teams like that. So I won't go down that route.
No. I mean, we've already had our stream of you know, emotions.
You know what I thought was interesting? Mike Wells from who's a reporter for the Colts, he asked a question during Frank Wright's presser about – oh, crap. What was the question? He asked about, what was it? Zach Kiefer had a good question about the four quarterbacks in 4 years and how that could, you know, frustrate him as a head coach and his system, yada, yada, yada. But Mike Wells asked a question. I'll come back. I'll remember it in a second. But it was a really good presser, I thought. And I thought Frank Wright was very, very honest. Very honest about some of the questions that were asked. Oh, I know what it is. Mike Wells asked about the meeting that Frank Wright and Chris Ballard had immediately after the game. And he asked, was that standard practices? And did he meet with Irsay after the loss against the Bills last year and he couldn't recall? And Frank Wright went on to say, no, it's not standard practice to meet right after the game. So that tells me that Mr. Irsay was, he was heated just like the rest of us.
Oh, yeah.
He cared just like the rest of us, in that I'm sure they left that meeting knowing that they need to fix the problem and they need to find a solution sooner rather than later. And I thought that was just an interesting point that he brought up, and that Frank Wright actually, you know, answered it honestly.
Yeah. The great thing about Jim Irsay, yes, this is a business. He's in it to make money, but at the same time, he is a fan of his own team. He wants to win. And, you know, a game like that, he was just like us sitting there watching the game, mm-hmm. pissed off, right?
Right.
So, you know, I completely get that. I understand it. We talk about how much the Colts need to do some changes this offseason. There's not a lot to work with right now when it comes to, you know, draft capital. I mean, we don't have our first round pick.
Right.
Money-wise, we're a little on the tight spot, being that we have a lot of major positions that we're going to try to be filling. Right. Left tackle, I don't think Fisher will be back. I really don't. He was good in the run game, but when it came to the pass protection, he was bad.
He struggled. Yeah, I agree.
People talk about, well, we need that second wide receiver, you know. Well, where's that going to come from? You know, I mean, obviously, you know, T.Y. Hilton talking about possibly retiring, Jack Doyle talking about possibly retiring. People say, hey, even you mentioned we need more pass rush. Well, where's that going to come from? You know, there's just not a lot of money / draft capital to go out there and get a lot this season. Yeah. So you talk, it's a lot of decision making right now. And it's all on the shoulders of Chris Ballard, who I think has done, for the most part, a good job during his tenure here. But after the way you lose, in the season,
it
brings up a lot.
Yeah, it makes you question everyone. Mm-hmm. And you're only – we had a saying in the National Football League, you're only good as your last game. And this was not the game to end the season on. A win in your end situational game, and you just flat out lay an egg. You got out-coached. You got out-played. And speaking of free agents – you're right. The Colts don't have enough wiggle room financially to go out and make a huge splash unless you get rid of a lot of moving pieces that I'm not sure you're willing to give up. Because in Chris Ballard's, what I believe to be his philosophy is building through the draft, mm-hmm. and developing through the draft, developing players. So the quarterback is the number one issue. For obvious reasons. The left tackle, second issue. I mean, that's going to be – I think you look at guys like Kwity Paye, Bobby. He played phenomenal down the stretch on defense. I think you got young guys who, with another year of experience, with an offseason together, I think they could really hit their stride. So, obviously, you know, Xavier Rhodes, we don't know what his future will hold. So, you're going to need some help on the back end. Again, you have a lot of young, talented players, but yet you're a few pieces away. But then, you know, I hate to keep going back to Wentz, but the quarterback position is the most important position mm-hmm. on your football team. And so if you get that corrected and you start off the gate at a much higher clip, you know, they'll be able to play through some of these expectations we have for this team before the season began. But there isn't a ton of holes on this team, but there's enough. They have holes in impactful positions where it matters the most, and they're really going to have to prove it this year. I really feel like this conversation we're having right now is going to sound a lot different, and because there's going to be a lot of they may not be a coach at this point next year if 2022 season ends up like this past season.
Absolutely. We're to the point now. We're going to do something that we have not done all season, and that's pick games that were not Colts games, because Colts don't have games this week, you know, anymore for the rest of this, you know, NFL season. So we're going to pick the wild card games, who we choose. for this weekend. My first and foremost, we're going to go by when they play. So like the first game this weekend will be the Raiders visiting Cincinnati. Okay. Who you got and why in this game?
It's tough because I look at the Raiders and I look at what they had to overcome this year. Mm-hmm. No head coach. They're playing inspiring football. It's easy to get behind a team that finds their way and playing inspiring. Everyone loves the underdog story. And I think they're going into Cincinnati with an underdog mentality. Even though Joe Burrow and the Bengals have played well, I have to go with the hot hand. I have to go with Derek Carr and the Las Vegas Raiders because I just love what they're doing. They beat our team in a close football game. They've had some issues with some players. I really think they have a chance to go into Cincinnati and win a football game.
That's odd. I was going to go the exact same route. and it's not just what they did to the Colts, okay?
Right.
They showed a lot of poise in their last game against the Chargers. I like how Derek Carr has taken this team and put it on his shoulders with all the adversity that he has faced as the Raiders all season long. Right. And I like the Raiders' defense more than I like Cincinnati's defense. Mm. That Max Crosby dude is for real. Okay?
Yeah, he's a beast.
And if the Bengals don't find a way of neutralizing Max, Joe Burrow is going to be under pressure all game long. I don't care if you do have Boyd and Higgins and Chase out there.
Right,
he ain't going to have time to get him the football. You know?
Right.
So I actually like the Raiders in this game as well. And not very all. There's a couple teams out here I'm actually rooting for. I am rooting for the Raiders because not just because they beat us, but just
it's hard not
that,
to.
They have that New Orleans Saints feel.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? When they won that Super Bowl after, you know, through that whole situation of those few years back.
Hurricane Katrina.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a good point. Yeah. Yeah. The Raiders they're clicking at the right time. They're playing really good football when it matters the most. And they're in the playoffs and no one gave them a shot. And you mentioned all the, you know, one thing about Max Crosby, and we all know this, the greatest neutralizer is a pass rush. It's a guy that can get after the passer. So all eyes, I'm sure, are going to be on that matchup or whoever he's lining up against.
Yeah, and if they try to double-team Max, they've got Yannick Ngakoue on the other side.
Yeah, Maryland guy. He's a Terp. Yeah, I know him very well. He's a guy that's been somewhat of a journeyman, but he's been productive. He just hasn't found the place that he can call home for the next few years. He's been bouncing around a bit, but Yannick has been extremely productive.
Absolutely. Moving on to the next game, the Saturday 8:00 game, we have two teams that the Colts, you know, basically demolished during the regular season. New England goes to Buffalo, and it's interesting. They're talking about this will be a near zero temperature game.
Yes, and that favors the Buffalo Bills because not in my right mind would I ever choose New England Patriots to win anything. No, I'm not doing it. And especially so, they're playing in Buffalo. Ideal situations for Buffalo. You have a young man and Mac Jones. He's a Southern boy. He's never played in weather this cold. There's no way. There's gonna be a huge adjustment. Now,
last time they played in a game like this, he had three passes.
Three passes. So he's never technically played in a game like this. So it's going to be interesting to see how they plan to attack the Buffalo Bills. But I give all the credit to Josh Allen and Stephon Diggs because this is another moment where, you know, you're expecting to dominate. Last year and the year before, we all assumed the Buffalo Bills were going to dominate this conference for the next decade or so. And now Mac Jones and Bill Belichick-led team has found a way to win a ton of games and beat people off schedule. So. But with that being said, I have to go with the home team. I have to go with the Buffalo Bills and what they present and what they're playing for.
Looks like we're going to match up pretty well here. I have a ton of respect for Bill Belichick as a head coach. Yeah. I think that his career has been absolutely phenomenal, and this coming from a Colts fan. Nothing but respect for him and what he's done, and respect for what they've done this season after what happened last season. They've really turned their team around this year, but I agree with you. I think this cold weather actually does favor Buffalo, as long as there's not 40-mile-an-hour winds like there was last time they played, in this type of situation where, you know, it's going to affect Josh Allen's throwing. Mm-hmm. I think you got the number one defense in football in Buffalo, which a lot of people don't realize. And it's not just number one in one category. It's like five different, like the five top categories in the NFL, they are number one in. If there's a team out there that I actually like a lot, if I had a second team to root for in the NFL, it's Buffalo. I love how I'm a little questionable when it comes to their head coach. Okay. His decision making and the kind of play calls that he comes up with, Sean McDermott, really kind of makes me go, what, you know,
fair.
Not running the football nearly as much as what they need to, that kind of situation. They've got talent running back. They just don't run the football to help take that pressure off of Josh and make him even more dynamic. But I think they find a way, especially in the cold weather, to run the ball a little bit, especially against New England's questionable run defense.
Right. Yes. You're spot on there. I don't disagree at all.
All right. So we both, so far, we're both.
I know which game that I just know for sure you're not going to, we're definitely going to disagree.
Okay. Philadelphia at Tampa Bay, Sunday, 1 p.m.
This is interesting.
It's not for me. I think this is a blowout.
I don't know if it's going to be a blowout, but I do think Tom Brady and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers win this game. Yeah, we know the issues we've seen arise the last week or so with Antonio Brown. You have some key cogs that are going to be out receiving-wise. You're going to have to learn how to win differently. You're going to have to find another way to – obviously, you're going to be relying on the run game. Hopefully, Leonard Fournette is back off a hamstring injury. So he's going to be massive in this game. But in terms of down the field targets and production, we've seen this team kind of stifle a bit without, you know, Mike Evans in the lineup and Goodwin out of the lineup. So there's going to be an adjustment period there. However, I do think the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are just too talented to not win this game. Their defense hasn't been the defense that we saw play last year, last season, throughout the playoffs. Now, if they can get back on track, this defense can get back on track playing well and playing together, it's going to be scary. This team can make a run for the Lombardi again in back-to-back years, but I don't think the Eagles have enough firepower to just withstand what the Tampa Bay Buccaneers have. I feel like they'll be overmatched, even now, with all the injuries.
Yeah. Now, with This matchup, they did play earlier in the year. Tampa Bay won 28-22, and that was during the period where Tampa earlier in the season was much like the Colts. You know, they just weren't finding their stride yet.
Right.
But similarly with the Eagles as well. You know, they weren't really finding their stride as well. The Eagles found their stride in their run game. They are the number one run team in the NFL. But you're looking at the Buccaneers' run defense, okay?
Right.
And they are really, really good against the run.
Fast.
And if Jalen Hurts can't find a way to make plays through the air, this is going to be a dominant game. I think Tom Brady and this Buccaneers team gets out to an early first quarter double-digit lead. The run game then gets stifled, and it becomes a runaway. I think Tampa Bay blows the Eagles away in this game.
Right. Yeah. I don't think it's going to be a blowout. I think they win, but I don't think they're going to surprise us. They're going to
If they do, that's great on Nick Sirianni because he's done a great job down there in Philly this year.
Yeah, it's a long shot. It's really a long shot. And I think Jalen Hurts is going to have to use his legs a ton, even in the passing game, when there aren't, you know, designated quarterback runs or RPOs.
Exactly. Moving on to the next game, we got an interesting game, to say the least. We got San Francisco going to Dallas, 4:30 p.m. Sunday. Well,
you know what? Here, I think we may go a different route. I don't know, but I think the San Francisco 49ers in this rushing attack is going to be too much for the Dallas Cowboys. I know much is expected of the Dallas Cowboys, but I'm not one of those people. I'm looking at, they don't pass the eyeball test for me. I think when you put all the chips on the table, I think San Francisco's defense, I think that D-line is coming off a dominant performance against the Rams. I think it's going to be too much for Dak Prescott. And just, I haven't been wowed by the Dallas Cowboys all year. And San Francisco is a team, Jimmy Garoppolo has played really well the last time he was out on the field. So you have that. And he's playing well at the right moment. And I'm looking at the momentum. I'm looking at the confidence of this team. I think they go into Dallas. I think they go into Dallas and shock some people. I really do. This is one of my teams that I 49ers used to be my favorite team growing up. So I have a certain affinity for them. But I just think that running game and Jimmy Garoppolo playing decent and that D-line from the 49ers just be too much for Dallas. I don't think Dallas, I think they're out first round.
This is a tale of two completely different teams. You got Smash Mouth Niners versus Finesse Cowboys, mm-hmm. right? This is kind of like, you know, the Patriots-Colts situation from years back with the Manning Brady days, you know.
Right.
Smash Mouth, you know, very physical team versus a very finesse team. The situation I have is I have no trust in Jimmy Garoppolo. Mm-hmm. That's my problem. I trust Dak Prescott much more than I trust Jimmy Garoppolo. If the game is put on Jimmy Garoppolo's shoulders, I don't trust that. I don't. If he has to throw the ball more than 15 yards downfield, game's over. All right. But at the same time, if they can lean on guys like Debo, if they can lean on guys mm-hmm. like Kittle, oh my goodness, you know. And I agree. I'll take San Francisco's defensive line to get pressure on Dak and maybe, you know, slow up Zeke a little bit, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Because if I remember right, the other running back is out, right? He's gone for the season. Yeah.
Yes.
Which sucks for them because he was really having a great season before he got hurt. But I'm very close to saying the same thing as you. I can see how San Francisco can take this game. Mm-hmm. It's just I don't trust Jimmy. It's so hard to trust Jimmy.
I'm going out on a limb.
I know.
I'm going out on a limb.
I'm taking Dallas.
I figured that would be the one that we would.
Yeah, I'm taking Dallas, but I think it's going to be close in the first half. I think Dallas kind of pulls away in the fourth quarter.
Okay. I'm ready for this one.
This might be the most lopsided game of the night.
Well, this is where we're going to disagree.
Yeah, hold on. I'm just saying when it comes to like betting, most people are going to look at Kansas City and the Pittsburgh game. Pittsburgh going to Kansas City. Mm-hmm. And be like, oh, Kansas City's got this all day, right? I mean, that's what your general ideas are going to be about. Am I wrong?
Mm-mm. You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. And this is the game that I knew we would probably disagree with because I feel like Mike Tomlin and on this last hurrah from Ben Roethlisberger, no one expected them to get into the playoffs. Because of what happened with the Colts, the domino effect allowed them to be in the playoffs in the first place when no one expected it. They were actually surprised they made it. I think I cannot count a Mike Tomlin coach team. And this team, it scares me because Kansas City, as great as they are, as good as they are, and as talented as they are, this could be a trap game for them. I think that defense, the defense doesn't really, they need to play well. They need to play well from the very start for the Kansas City Chiefs to have a chance. But yeah, I just, something tells me this could be one of those games. Even though my heart of hearts tells me the Kansas City Chiefs and, you know, Travis Kelce and the speed guy on the edge. Oh my gosh.
Hill.
Yes. Hill, you know, Patrick Mahomes,
yeah.
Andy Reid. There's a lot to say they're definitely going to win this game. But Mike Tomlin hasn't had a losing season in 15 odd years. And I really feel like this will be his moment, his coaching moment, where we realize like just how good of a coach he really is. I think the Pittsburgh Steelers win this game. I'm going on a limb.
Wow. Wow. Mm-hmm. I got a boy, Joe Thornburg, who is absolutely going to flip his shit on that game because he's a Steelers fan. And, you know, I don't know if he trusts him to win this game. Here's the thing. For Kansas City to win this game, they have to neutralize two people. One on offense, one on defense. And the one on offense, it's not Ben Roethlisberger, it's Najee Harris. Okay? Neutralize him. Neutralize him, their offense is done. Okay? At least that's the way I've seen it. Najee Harris has been used so much, not only in the run game, but in the passing game as well. His stats, you know, yards per carry, that doesn't say what he means to this Steelers team, what he has meant to the Steelers team this year.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
The other guy, if you don't neutralize in some way, form, or fashion, TJ Watt,
yeah,
this game is going to get out of hand and not in your favor. Okay. Right. The man holds the record this season for most sacks in a season. He just broke Mike Strahan's record. Okay.
Yeah.
And he's a handful. Yeah. I would not be surprised if they have a tackle, a tight end, and then their running back going out and helping chip in as well, okay,
right,
to keep this man away from Patrick Mahomes, okay, because he has the ability. We talked about Max Crosby earlier. TJ Watt is in that, you know, they're similar guys that could just completely take over a game, you know.
Yeah, you're right. You're absolutely right. TJ Watt can wreck a game. But, yeah, I hopefully it's a long shot. It's a long shot. This is one of those games where I just know, you know, Steeler Nation is pride, man. They're playing for a lot of pride. And when you give a team that's counted out something to play for, the Jacksonville Jaguars, you know, Big Ben, if they like Big Ben, they're going to go out and play for him, man. You know, you saw Mike Tomlin dancing in the locker room after the game. You know, he was on the TikToks or whatever you want to call it. But if I think it's going to be a really close football game. I really do.
I'm still going to go with KC. I think that offense finds a way to win this game. There's just so much talent on that offense. And the defense has been much better this year for Kansas City, right?
Yeah.
So I think they find a way to win this game.
Yeah.
Last game, Monday Night Football. The Arizona Cardinals go to the LA Rams. This is going to be a fun game.
Yeah, yeah, this is the game I'm most looking forward to.
There's guys coming back in this game.
Yeah, I'm most looking forward to this and what Tyler Murray can do on the field. He's just elusive. He's box office. Anytime he steps on the field, you got a team that basically far exceeded anyone's expectation in the early part of the year. The later part of the year, they struggled. So that makes me a little worrisome. But then you look at a guy like Matthew Stafford for the Rams, and in my opinion, he's under the most pressure of any player heading into the playoffs. It's his first time playing in the playoffs. A lot has been expected for him to bolster this team over the hump to get them back to the Super Bowl. And I think the pressure and some of his decision-making lately, late in the season, has been a little head-scratching. And ultimately, I know you got Odell Beckham Jr., Cooper Kupp, who's been the best receiver in football this year. No one has stopped this man. No one has. I don't expect the Arizona Cardinals to stop him. But something tells me if I had to pick which quarterback that I would rely on, I think I'm a side towards Kyler Murray in a sense, because he has the weapons to do it. He just has this quiet confidence and poise about him. I just think a lot of pressure is going to be on Matthew Stafford. And at the end, I think the Arizona Cardinals wins this game. I really do. I really feel like they will have they're gonna shock some people. I think Tyler Murray, you know, creates his legacy against the Rams.
I mean, Kyler hasn't been the same guy since Hopkins has been gone.
Right.
But a couple guys to take note of. J.J. Watt may be back for this game. For the Cardinals. That would be a huge benefit, something that they haven't had since halfway through the season when he went down with the injury. The Rams just today signed Eric Weddle.
That's a
good veteran presence back there at the safety position. Even, you know, my issue here, I picked the Rams to win the Super Bowl at the beginning of the season. I have seen flashes of what I thought the Rams would be this year. Just a dominating offense with an incredibly good defensive line, right? And I still think they still have that offense, that passing attack, I think, that is just ridiculous. Odell's been playing phenomenal since he's went there. As you talked about, Cooper Kupp is just ridiculous. No one can stop that man.
No one.
I don't even know if his own boy on his own team, Jalen Ramsey, can stop that guy right now.
No.
You know, I got the Rams winning this, but I think it's going to be the most explosive game of the wild card weekend. I think this is a game where you're going to see at least 60, 65 points drop total in this game without any question in my mind.
No, I agree with it. This is the game I'm waiting on. This is the game where you have two – it's so many storylines. You know, Kyler Murray taking the next step and getting guys back and the slump.
Matt Stafford maybe winning his first playoff game.
Right, Matt Stafford finally being able to play a playoff game. How would he – you know, how would he size up to it, you know? He's had he's taken a bad rep by not winning the big game. Well, this is your moment. You have all the pieces around you. So this is why they brought you here. This is another signature moment we talked about with the Colts the last game with certain players. You don't want to be the reason why your team didn't win. And he's in a position where everyone's focused on Matthew Stafford. This is going to be, again, I don't disagree with you. It's going to be a high-scoring game. It's going to be an electric game. Again, both of these teams are box office. They have box office talents. So everyone's going to be tuning in. And I feel like whoever wins this game has a really good chance to go deep in the playoffs and make a Super Bowl run. I really do feel like that.
There you go. All right, man. That's it for me. Do you have any extra things that you want to say before we get out of here?
No, I'm all good, man. It's going to be exciting to watch some football and you know, pay attention to some of these games and see how these games unfold. A lot of teams that barely squeaked in, you know, the Pittsburgh Steelers. I'm watching them. I know some of the Colts fans or some of the Browns fans will not believe I'm picking the Pittsburgh Steelers, but that's one game I'm looking forward to as well to see how they compete.
All right. Well, it was another great episode. Thanks for spending an hour with me before you got to head out today. Look forward to Monday's podcast as well. And until next time, I'm Lawrence Owen. That's DeQuell Jackson. This was Believe in Colts, brought to you by Bet Online. And as usual, go Colts.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.